I want to ask you to turn with me, please, in the Word of God to Psalm 81. Psalm number 81. It's titled To the Chief Musician Upon Gittith, a Psalm of Asaph. The Psalm 81. And we'll commence at the start of the psalm. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law for the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony, when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou calledst in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own hearts, lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways! I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. May God bless his word. As we've read it together, it's quite tragic when you think of some of those things that the Lord does say there. When he talks of all the blessings that he would have given to his people if they'd only hearkened unto him, listened unto him, and heeded his call, his voice. And yet, because of their negligence, because of their refusal, how much they missed out on. What a warning to us when the Lord calls in his word and gives us promises and instructions. What a warning to us that we wouldn't miss out on the good things that the Lord has for us through negligence or disobedience. Now we're going to turn. Well, can you please turn with me in God's Word? We're turning to Mark chapter 1, the Gospel of Mark. Chapter 1. And we're going to take a reading from the verse 28. Mark chapter 1, the verse 28. We're really cutting into the narrative here, but Christ has healed a man or cast out an unclean spirit from a man at the synagogue. And the people are amazed, questioning among themselves, you know, what is this thing? Or what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? And they marvel at his authority. And then coming to verse 28 of Mark chapter 1. And immediately Christ's fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came, and took her by the hand, and lifted her up, And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout Galilee, and cast out devils. May God bless his word to us as we've read it together. Let's bow in prayer as we come to God's word. Our Father, we praise and thank thee for such a time as this, when we are gathered together at thy feet to receive of the good things that you have for us, to worship thee, even by taking heed to the word. And we pray for the help of heaven that's so necessary, that you would send forth the Holy Spirit to equip me to preach and to enable all of us to hear, and that we might receive thy word to the benefit, the profit of our soul. We ask in the Saviour's name. Amen. I have discovered, living in Port Lincoln there, that quite a number of the main big retailers love to use what I call junk mail. And nearly every week, especially happens on a Tuesday for me, you get a large package arriving in your post. It's rolled up and it's got all the different leaflets of the day rolled up there. And if you were to take those into the house and sit down and look through them all, I'm sure that you would quite often discover offers, special deals and so on being made to you. Maybe it's, I don't know, Domino's sends one to us quite regularly, and I'm sure everyone else. And so it'll tell you about the half-price pizzas coming out for the next week. Maybe there'll be something about a computer that's heavily discounted in one of the local shops. You have to be quick, though, because it's only there while stocks last. Or maybe there's some sort of special clearance sale on cars or whatever else. And if you need to get your car changed, well, you need to head over right away because there's a time limit on this offer. And these offers are usually presented to us with something of a time factor. You know, you're encouraged, here's an opportunity that is not to be missed. And therefore, you have to be quick to grasp hold of that opportunity when it's set in front of you. Well, before us here in Mark's Gospel, we're told about an opportunity not to be missed. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the area. The people know where he is. He's in the house of Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And the people know that he's in the area, and therefore they have an opportunity not to be missed. Here's the one in their midst who has power to heal diseases and power to cast out devils to meet the great needs of their soul, and he's right there in the area. It's an opportunity not to be missed, to come to the Saviour and receive of his healing touch. It is this theme that I want to look at with you tonight. We see before us this great opportunity. And in this portion, we're reminded of those who avail themselves of the opportunity. And we also see some who missed out on the opportunity. So an opportunity not to be missed. That's our theme. As we look at this opportunity, there are certainly important lessons for those who are not yet saved. But there are also some important lessons here for those who do know and love the Lord. And I want to start by briefly looking at those lessons for we who love Christ. And then we'll move on to the multitudes presented with this opportunity. So first of all, as we come to this portion, and particularly we're looking from, say, about the verse 32 down in this passage, we're looking first of all at those who facilitated this opportunity. There was an opportunity for healing here. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the region. He's the one with power to meet the needs of all sorts of men. But in order for them to take the opportunity, they first had to hear about it. And so there had to be those who would promote the opportunity. If you like, you know, for the deals that are offered round, those things that I was saying come in the letterbox on a Tuesday quite often. Well, I suppose if a shop puts on a special offer but doesn't tell anyone that the offer's there, well, they're not going to get many takers, are they? There needs to be, first of all, a knowing about the opportunity. And so we have those who facilitated it. And they went out and they talked of this opportunity to seek the Lord. Now notice two things about this number who promoted the opportunity. First of all, notice the advice that they offered. The advice that they offered. How did people know that Christ was in the region? How did they know that there was someone who could meet their need? Well, they knew because they were offered advice. People came and told them about the power, the activity, and the location of the Saviour. In verse 28, you read, following Christ's mighty power shown in the synagogue, you read in verse 28 that immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So here you see the word is spreading right the way around the region. It's recorded after the events in the synagogue. Christ had preached with power. He had cast out the unclean spirit from a needy man. And undoubtedly, people having witnessed Christ's great power, having seen the evidence of what he can do, they've gone away from the synagogue and they've begun to tell others. They're passing on the word about this individual who came to the synagogue and who spoke with authority and even had power to cast out the devil. It doesn't take much imagination to assume that, say, a man in the synagogue may well have gone home and told his sick daughter about the power of Christ and how he could meet her need. Maybe a husband would have gone home to his wife and told her about Jesus Christ who could help her. One would return to his friend, maybe an individual possessed of an unclean spirit and having seen the power of Christ to deal with such a condition already, he would have told that one of the Saviour who could help in what was otherwise a hopeless case. But either way, word was spreading abroad. The message was going out. You'll never believe what happened today in the synagogue, people were saying. Christ came, and here's what he did. Here's how mighty he is. The word spread. They were telling all about Christ. There was excitement. Here's someone who can make the difference. You know, when there seems to be an important development in the treatment of some of the great diseases, think of, I don't know, one of the reports that comes up in the newspapers at times is, you know, a significant step taken forward in the battle with cancer, for example. It makes the front cover when there is. Here's something that might make all the difference, the papers say. Let this news be told abroad. We've taken a major step forward in dealing with this killing disease. Well, the same thing's happening here. Many people have seen Christ demonstrate his great power, and they leave with the message. There is someone in this region, someone here, who can make a difference in your life, who can deal with your trouble. They were saying to sick friends, here's one who can give you health. They were saying to those in the grip of the devil, here's one who can rescue your soul. You must go and see him. He can make the difference. His fame spread abroad. You know, what an important example for you and me who know and who have witnessed the power of Christ. There were those in the synagogue that day who witnessed the power of Christ as they watched on and he worked mightily to rescue the demon-possessed man. But you know, for each one of us who are saved, we've got first-hand experience of the power of Christ because he's come and he's worked mightily in our hearts. He's taken us from out of the devil's grip. He's brought us to himself. He's changed our hearts and given us a desire after himself. We've experienced his power. We've witnessed it. Ought we not to go and spread his fame abroad then, throughout all the region, so that others might know of our Saviour and of his mighty power to deliver? That's what was happening in this day, and you can understand it. Well, the same Saviour is still alive and active today. He is still at work. He has worked for you, child of God. Ought you not to go forward with the same excitement and tell of what Christ can do for those who need him? If you had the cure for cancer, you would be quick to pass it on. Well, I trust you would. Well, you who have the knowledge of Christ, something that's even greater than the cure for cancer, you who have the knowledge of Christ, would you not be quick to proclaim him? Are you being faithful in proclaiming Christ? Are you giving the needed advice to a dying world? Are you telling others of the Saviour? So the advice that they offered. Then notice the assistance that they offered. The assistance that they offered. Not only did the people pass on word about the Saviour, but you find that they also offered assistance. You read in verse 32 that at evening time, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. They brought unto him. Now, who is the they? I suggest that speaks of those who knew about the Saviour. They knew of their friend's needs, and therefore they physically brought their diseased or their possessed friends to the Saviour. They didn't just tell the needy about Christ and then sit back rather smugly and say, well, that's my job done. That's me clear of their blood. I've done my bit. I've told them. Rather, they did all that they could to get their friends to Christ. They brought them onto him. Now, what a lesson to we who know the Lord. You know, our job is not done by simply telling people about the Saviour. Now, certainly that's a major part of it, to speak forth a word for Christ, to tell of his mighty power, to tell of who he is, of what he has accomplished already, and of what more he can do in the life of the sinful. That's a big part of it. But our job's not done to simply declare the truth and then wash our hands of the whole thing and go on our merry way. We're to do all that we can to bring the needy to Christ. Now, the reality is that you can't force someone to come to Christ. You can't physically drag them kicking and screaming to salvation. But we are to do what we can to bring them. That's what was happening here. They brought those that were diseased or possessed onto the Saviour. We're to bring those that are in need to Christ. Now, as I say, you can't drag them. You can't force them against their will to come onto the Saviour. But, you know, one great area in which you can labour, if you like, in bringing them to Christ is in the area of prayer. You and I are to be praying for our loved ones and for those that we are witnessing to. We can bring them to Christ in our intercession. We're to be faithful in prayer, praying for our loved ones, praying for those that are in need. We're to be faithful. Faithful, yes, with the word of God to tell of Christ, but also faithful to do everything else that we can. And a big part of it's praying. So that we might, even by prayer, bring our loved ones and others onto the Saviour. Tell me, are you doing what you can to assist souls to Christ? I'm not asking, have you, cleared your conscience by telling the word? Are you doing what you can? Are you doing all you can? Are you going out of your way? Here's individuals and they're giving up an evening of their night. They're giving up some time that evening to bring their loved ones to Christ. They're going out of their way. They're doing what they can. Are you seeking to do what you can to go the second mile in bringing others to the Saviour? Are you faithfully bringing the word to them and the invitation to them? And are you faithfully bearing them to the Lord in your prayer? What a tremendous example we have here in verse 32. They brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. Oh, that we would proclaim his fame abroad, Christ's fame, but oh, that we would also bring our loved ones to him. Now, this is where I turn attention primarily to you if you're here and you do not know Christ. We've seen a tremendous example in evangelism for the people of God. And our trust is that we who are Christ's would learn from such a lesson, such an example. But how important the lesson is for you if you need Christ to save you, to restore you. Before us we have two camps of people, and there are important lessons from each camp. Now firstly, we're going to look at those who availed of this opportunity. So I suppose this is our second main point. Those who availed of this opportunity, those who grasped it, those who took it. You read in verses 33 and 34, that all the city was gathered together at the door. That's the door of Peter's mother-in-law's house. It says in verse 34, "And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." And so here we see a great multitude who availed of the opportunity. They gathered at the door. They came seeking for Christ. Now you'll notice the conditions that they faced. You see a great variety of conditions here. Verse 34 tells you they were healed of divers, different diseases. A wide variety of conditions. And as well as that, it says that many devils were cast out. By the way, do notice in a portion like that, that the Bible does make a distinction between disease or sickness and demonic activity. There is a distinction. There are two different categories here in this portion. You've got them that were sick of different diseases, and then you've got other people who had to have devils or demons cast out. There are these two categories. I make that point because, well, you'll get it in some charismatic circles today that, you know, they'll tell you if you have a cold, well, then you have to rebuke the flu demon or whatever else it might be. You might have the lame foot demon or whatever else, and that physical illnesses are always the cause of these demons. The Bible divides between the two categories, between physical disease and demon possession. Just because you have a cold doesn't mean suddenly a demon is having his way in your life. But here you have different conditions. You have a wide variety of physical problems, and you have a wide variety of spiritual problems. You have viruses and bacteria at work here in different people. You've got variety of symptoms. And then with these spiritual problems, you've got people in the grip of the devil. They're held in the sway of demons. What a variety of conditions that these people faced. But though a great variety of problems were on display as you look around this gathering at the door, verse 34 tells you that Christ healed them all. He healed many. He cast out many demons or devils. Christ healed them. These people didn't have a wasted journey. They came with their variety of conditions. I suppose one thing that they had in common was that together they were seeking Christ. Their great need was to feel their need of him. And they came seeking Christ, and with that in common, seeking the Savior, he healed them. They didn't have a wasted journey. Coming to Christ, they received the needed cure. The one who had a serious disease of the body was completely healed. The one who was firmly in the grip of an unclean spirit was granted his freedom. It wasn't a wasted trip to come to Christ. He dealt with every variety of condition. You know, so too, he is able to deal with your condition, whatever it is today. You might have a different variety of need from me. Your sinfulness may affect you in a way that mine doesn't affect me. Your sinfulness might manifest in totally different symptoms. But though there is this variety, the answer for you is the same as the answer for me, is the same as the answer for the next person. The need is to come to the Savior. It doesn't so much matter what the condition is. The need is to come to him. And he's able to address the problem. Our need is to get to Christ. You know, when Christ is presented to you, when you hear his invitation in the gospel, you have a tremendous opportunity. The reason being that he's able to save you, no matter what sins you've committed, no matter what variety of the strain of the disease you might have, he is able to heal you. And coming to him, you too will find that it is not a wasted trip. There is none who has come truly onto Christ that he's cast away and rejected. There is no wasted trip coming to Christ. He heals. He will grant you forgiveness for sin. He gives everlasting life. A trip to Christ is never wasted. What a tremendous opportunity is given when you're invited to the Saviour. I wonder, have you availed of such an opportunity today? You know, as we think of these people who did avail of the opportunity, those who grasped it, notice also the time of their coming. We thought about the conditions they faced, but think about the time of their coming. Verse 32 tells us when they came. We read that this occurred at evening, when the sun did set. Now that is very significant. But to understand the significance of it, you have to understand something about the culture and the thinking within Jewish society in that day. Firstly, one major difference from ourselves that you have to understand is that the Jews determined the start and the end of their day differently from us. You know, for us, well, Monday is going to start at midnight tonight, and Monday will last until midnight of the following night, and then it will become Tuesday. But that's not when the day changed for a Jew. That's not how they reckoned it. They measured the beginning of their day from when the sun set in the evening. So as soon as the sun goes down, when you read here, at even they came, that's a new day. The next day has begun. That's how they estimate it. For us, Monday starts at midnight, but for a Jew, it starts at sunset. So according to their thinking, it's Monday, whenever, or rather, it's the next day, whenever they are coming to Christ here. That's the first thing. In the Jewish mind, these events occur at the start of a new day. The second thing to understand is that the Jews took the Sabbath very seriously. It was considered immoral to travel any great distance on the Sabbath. It was considered wrong to go to great lengths and effort unnecessarily. Therefore, usually the greater efforts were left until the next day. Now, with those facts in mind and recognizing that this was the evening, as we would say it, this was the evening of their Sabbath day. This was evening after the Sabbath when Christ had been at the synagogue and so on. Understanding that, when you read here that these people came to Christ at evening time, when the sun did set, what is happening is that these people have heard about the Saviour residing in the area. He has done a remarkable work in the synagogue that day. The word has spread rapidly throughout that afternoon. The people hear about it, but it's the Sabbath. And they're itching to come to Christ, but they don't want to defile the Sabbath day. They don't want to travel too far. And so they're waiting until the end of the day. But as soon as the sun sets, well then, that's a new day. It's not the Sabbath any longer. And now, at the earliest opportunity, they arise and they go to Christ. Now, I'm not saying they were right to wait until the end of the Sabbath. The right thing to do would be to come to Christ as soon as possible, even on the Sabbath day. But understanding that that was the mindset of the people, well, these people came as soon as they thought it was possible to come. They hear about this news that day and they're itching to come. But they wait until evening time, and as soon as it hits evening, right, we're off. Let's get to the house. We have to meet with the Saviour. What a lesson for you if you're here today and as yet you haven't trusted Christ. The time to be made right with Christ is not to be put off. Here's people who have great need, and they're coming to Christ. As far as they're concerned, they're coming at the earliest possible opportunity. They've heard about him, and as soon as it strikes evening, as soon as the sun is down, they're going to be there. They're not going to wait. The time to be made right with Christ is not to be put off. You know, this is one of the devil's great tactics. You know, yes, you can believe the gospel. Yes, you can repent of your sin. Yes, you can be saved. But do it tomorrow. Don't worry about it today. Do it tomorrow. You've got plenty of time left. Wait a little bit. Here were a people who needed a touch from Christ, and they were not going to delay. They weren't going to waste a moment. At the earliest opportunity, they were going to come to him, and they did come to him. You know, that is always the right approach when it comes to Christ. You have, by nature, a serious condition, which apart from the touch of the Savior would bring you to hell. Your eternal soul, or your everlasting soul, is in great danger. You do not know how long you have before God calls you to the judgment. You might have 10 years, you might have 10 minutes. You don't know. You don't know what a day brings forth. What you do know is that right now, as Christ calls to you in the gospel, as he offers his invitation and welcomes you to himself, right now, you have an opportunity to be saved. What a foolish thing to delay then, when you don't know what 10 minutes will bring. Never mind the next day or beyond. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 declares, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Today. Now. Today you have an opportunity to be saved. In this moment it is presented to you. This is the time. Will you avail of that opportunity? Now we've looked at one crowd who, hearing about the Saviour in the region, who being directed and brought to the place, they took the opportunity as soon as they could. They came, they rushed to Christ. But there was another crowd who similarly needed the Saviour. Verse 35 tells us that in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Christ went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And you'll notice what happens. It says in verse 36, Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and when they had found him, they said unto him, "All men seek for thee. All men seek for thee." You see, another crowd has started to gather at the house the very next morning. Here's another gathering of people who went to the Saviour seeking him to meet their need. "All men seek for thee," Simon Peter tells Christ. Essentially, the disciples are coming to the Saviour and they're saying, "Come quickly, people are looking for you." But notice the Saviour's unexpected response in verse 38. He doesn't go back with them. He said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." You see, Christ had no intention of returning that way. It was time to move on. And so here was a crowd. They came the next morning, but they missed their opportunity. So in the last place, we're looking then at those who missed this opportunity. Now, first of all, notice their desire. Their desire. In verse 37, Peter tells Christ, "All men seek for thee." So here was a gathering of people. They were in need of healing, and they desired to be healed. They were trying to find Christ so that he might heal them. However, they did not receive Christ's healing. Now take this as an important lesson. You can fully desire to have eternal life. You can want your sins to be forgiven. You can want peace with God. But that in and of itself does not guarantee that you will have it. You see, the important thing for these people, it was not that they desired Christ to heal them. Of course they wanted that. Of course they wanted their, diseased foot to be healed. Of course they wanted an impotent arm to be healed. Of course they wanted these things. But that wasn't the important thing. The important thing was that they actually met with Christ. That's what they needed. Because they did not manage to come to him, They can desire all they want to have these different afflictions removed, but they were not healed. You can desire peace with God. You can desire to avoid hell. I'm sure most people desire that. There's not too many in this world who will openly say, yes, I'm looking forward to hell, especially when they understand what hell is. There's a desire to avoid it. But unless you actually take Christ's invitation, unless you actually come to him when he calls, the reality is you will not have these things. You might want it all you want, all you like, but you're not going to have it unless you meet with Christ. Good intentions are not good enough. Good desires get you nowhere if they do not result in activity. If you desire to be saved by Christ, you would need activity. You would need to go to him for healing. You would need to go to him while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Now this does leave us with a question. Because here we have a multitude of people. They desire the Saviour's touch and they go seeking for him. Why is it then that they did not receive his healing? Why were their desires not met? Well, finally then, we're looking at this group, we're looking at their mistake. Their mistake. We thought about their desire, but notice their mistake. And the great mistake of these people was that when word about Christ spread throughout the region, when they were told about the opportunity presented to be healed, they presumed that that window of opportunity lasted longer than it actually did. They could have come immediately. They could have come as soon as the sun set, like others did. But probably because the hour was getting late, it was maybe inconvenient to leave their home at such an hour, they thought, well, surely it's wiser to wait until the next morning. And it seemed very sensible to them. They decided among themselves, perhaps, well, it's getting a bit late now. We're not going to travel tonight. It's starting to get dark. But we'll get up in the morning. We'll go first thing in the morning. We'll go really early and we'll meet with him there. What harm can be done by just waiting an extra few hours? That seemed to be very sensible. What difference is it going to make? It's just a few hours. We'll see him in the morning. It seemed sensible, but what a dreadful mistake it was. You see, what the people did not count on was that, as verse 35 tells us, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Christ went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. They planned to get up early, to go to Christ at perhaps the first light. But they did not count on the fact that before first light came, their window of opportunity would be gone. By the time the sun came out again, Christ was already away from that place. They had missed out. It was too late. Their opportunity was gone. The previous day, they had been presented with this opportunity not to be missed. And they missed it. They missed it. Be sure not to miss your opportunity to come onto Christ. While he comes in the gospel and he calls to you, he shows you the work that he's performed upon the cross at Calvary. He shows to you his glory and he offers unto you to come and to be saved. Be sure that in this day of opportunity, as Christ presents to you an opportunity not to be missed, be sure you don't miss it. These people missed it. What harm can a few hours do, they thought. But they missed it. It was too late by then. Christ was away. The time had ended. Now, as we come to a close, can I stress upon you the importance, therefore, of acting now, of coming to Christ today while he calls? If I get a leaflet in the post and it tells me that there's a 10-day sale on something in particular that I want, I can easily plan to go on the 9th day, and I'll still be able to receive of the offer. But the problem you have with Christ's offer is that he hasn't told you when it ends. He's revealed to you that today is a day of salvation. He's shown you that the offer is extended today. While you're gathered here and the gospel is preached and you're told of the cross and invited to come, you're in a day of opportunity. You're able to come now. But you don't know if that window of opportunity extends to tomorrow. You don't know when it ends. Your window of opportunity can be brought to an end very quickly. You know, it can be brought to an end by death. The foolish farmer thought he had plenty of years to live, to build barns and stockpile. Yet the Lord said to him in Luke 12:20, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." There's a man who thought he had plenty of time, and yet that very night, his window of opportunity was closed. It was over. Your window of opportunity can be gone if Christ returns. That event will take many by surprise. It will be sudden. As the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In a moment, in the blink of an eye, he shall have returned. And woe to you if you are too late to avail of his invitation. You know, your window of opportunity can end if the Spirit of God stops striving with you. The Lord has declared, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." And truly the time may come when you reject the invitation of the gospel for the last time and you'll never hear it again, at least not with power, not with that voice that calls to you. Never again will you be alerted to your danger and awoken to your need of the Savior. You'll be left to drift through life, really, with no hope, as one who is alive physically, but dead already. I stress these things to urge you. Do not presume upon a window of opportunity extending to tomorrow. You've got no guarantee of that. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. That Sabbath day, as people around the region were told, Christ is in that particular house, the house of Peter's mother-in-law. All they had was that evening. Those who went received of his blessing. Those who put it off, even just for a few hours, they lost out entirely. Don't be like that multitude who, yes, had good intentions, but who left it far too late. May God bless his word to us today. Amen.